chapter 5.
I have a hard time preaching on prayer because I struggle with it. I feel like a hypocrite. I have a hard time preaching on assurance because I struggle with it. I have a hard time preaching on casting all of our cares at the feet of Christ because I struggle with it. People say, Kevin, you ought not say those things. You mean you have little faith? And I go, do you have a lot? Do me a favor. Go out to the parking lot, look at that big mountain, since you're so strong, and go cast it into the sea. Well, our faith must be smaller than a mustard seed. It's every one of us, isn't it? I struggle by preaching on being a good husband because I know I'm not. I'd actually thought, well, a lot of you in here has been married almost as long as I've been alive. I haven't been married all that long. What can I tell you? Do you believe what this scripture says? Paul, that was used to write it, was single. That was my duh moment for the week. It's not knowing, it's not being good at praying, it's not being good at having assurance, it's not being good at casting every care that I have, all of them, at His feet every day. It's not about me being a good husband, as I ought to be. It's about knowing God and knowing what He says in His Word. That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in someone else's experience. I want to know what God has to say to me. To me only. We remember as we're going through this chapter, if this was the 1800s, before we had TV and football and entertainment, we'd have looked at this whole thing in one go. We'd have sat here for about 4 hours and had intermission, and we'd have went through the whole thing. But now we've got to take it in smaller chunks, don't we? 2 weeks ago, we looked at this chapter, and we saw the great mystery of marriage. Twice in the New Testament, Paul's called something a great mystery. And he's speaking of Christ and His bride and His church. He said, this is a great mystery. We looked at that, how this is a union and a picture of oneness between Christ and His bride, the church, His body, you who believe, and all believers throughout time. And last week, we looked at the wives. How worldly, as our walk in this earth, it's such an honor and such a privilege to be a living, breathing example, a type and picture of this gospel that we love in the home and in public. That's a privilege, isn't it? But we also looked about at the submission of this bride to her own husband and to every believer. That's to all of us, isn't it? We submit to our own husband, Christ, our heavenly husband, and to Him alone. And in the local assembly, we are to submit to our own husbands. That's a hard thing for me to tell you because I'm the one telling you. But we trust the Lord to lead His laborers, don't we? And as a group, we submit to our heavenly husband, Christ our husband, the Savior of the body, and the church throughout time, from that first saint to the last saint. That's who they submit to. Christ their husband. Their own husbands. Today we're going to look at the husband. How this applies to you, you men, in your living rooms. This is where it hits us. At home. How this applies to a local body of believers. How we're to submit to one another. How we're to love one another. To each other. This applies to me. As a picture of your husband. Remember, we looked at everything on scale. It starts in the home and it goes all the way throughout time. How I'm to love you. And then this applies most importantly. As a picture, we can see of Christ our heavenly husband. How He loves us. Some will hear this and they'll say, well, I'm not a husband. I don't need to listen. I ain't married or I'm a wife or this don't apply to me. If you'll stick with me, if the Lord will enable you to stay with me this morning, there's something here to bless every one of His sheep. Every one of them. Because we're going to see Christ our husband in it. That's what's most important. Now, it begins there in chapter 5, Ephesians 5, verse 21. Ephesians 5, 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's each one of us. We're to submit one to another. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. It is so easy for husbands, not just the young ones, not just the ones that are new at it, the old ones too, to read the scriptures and just wrongly assume that our wives are to be our servants. They're to wait on us hand and foot. That is not what that means. People say, but. That's what goats do, don't they? But. But verse 22, it says, wives are submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord. That's talking, no, that's not talking to husbands. That's talking to wives, isn't it? That's husbands, that ain't to us. Spiritually it is, but carnally it's not. We're told throughout the scriptures how we are to treat others. We are told how we are to treat our brethren. We're told how we're to treat our spouses. We're told how we're to treat our parents, how we're to treat our children. Nowhere in the scriptures does it tell me, a Bible written to me, to you, how somebody else is supposed to treat us. He gives us instruction how we're to treat others, isn't it? But that president one time said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. What wisdom? What serve us good? What can I do for my brethren, my bride, my parents, my children? Not what they can do for me. Us husbands in the flesh, we don't need to dwell on how submissive our wives are to us. We need to dwell on what the scriptures tell us. What they speak to us. The service, the type, this picture that the Lord's given in our hand to be a living epistle, a living testimony of this gospel. He's given that to us. That's what we need to be concerned about. How we treat her. And that's plenty to keep us occupied. You ain't going to finish up that job and go on to worry about how managing other folks. We worry about ourselves. It says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a heavy task, isn't it? Wives, you're to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Husbands, here's your task. You love your bride as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a tall order, isn't it? The husband is the head of the home. Somebody else may have responsibility, but he's the one that's accountable. Many people in our day, they disagree with that. That's how God says it is. I don't think that's right. I think, that's where we get in trouble with. I think everything's even. And it's a joint effort. Or this is a new age. God says the man's the head of the woman. Because, like we've saw these last two messages in this same chapter, it's a picture of Christ and His church, isn't it? It's a picture of it. The end result of a happy marriage in this world primarily rests on the shoulders of the husband. That's my job. In my home, if I'm going to have a happy marriage and a happy home, we like to say happy wife, happy life, don't we? God says the primary responsibility of happiness in the home rests on my shoulders. You men, it rests on your shoulders. Now remember, this is a picture. I try always try to break that up, the practical and the spiritual and how it applies and Christ in it, and it's just going to all mesh together today, so stay with me. Eternally, the happiness, the well-being and the safety of Christ's bride, His elect, His church, it rests squarely on His shoulders and His shoulders alone. Don't it? It's on His shoulders. A happy marriage on this earth and eternally between Christ and His bride is based on the fact that the husband loves the wife so much. That's the foundation of it. That she is, in response to that love, she is so honored to be His bride. She willfully submits to Him in all things. She obeys Him, not because she has to, because she wants to. You husbands, you go home and you love your brides like Christ loved the church, and she will willfully, it should be glad to submit to you. Be glad to. That's why the bride of Christ, we obey Him, we trust Him, we honor Him, and we submit to Him because of that perfect love He has for us. We're willing bondservants, and we are happy to do so. Happy to do so. A husband's responsibility to your earthly wife can be summed up in one word. Love. Love. How are we to do that? As Christ loved the church. That's the qualifier for it. That's what puts it in perspective for us. That's how we're supposed to do it. Love. As Christ loved the church. This morning I want to look at four ways here in our text that Christ loved His church. The first one is Christ loved the church by sacrificing Himself for her. He gave the whole of Himself for His bride. All of Him. Men, are we given all of ourselves to our brides? Are we living sacrificially for our brides? As Christ gave. To make our wives know that we love them. We ought to strive to. I know we're not. I'm not. It's not possible, is it? But we ought to strive to. Again, not thinking, now I'll love her that way when she submits to me. That's that covenant of works, isn't it? That's if then. If you do that, then I'll do this. No, that's not grace. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. While we were disobedient to Him. While we were enemies with God, He died for us. He didn't say, I'll love you when you straighten up. He said, I love you. In unmerited favor, do we love our brides as Christ loved the church? A dear friend of mine, a dear mentor of mine, once said, let's man up and do it. I want to serve the Lord. Serve Him. Get after it. If our wives don't feel loved and secure, we need to step it up a notch. And I'm talking to me. If your wife needs something and she does not have it, you sacrifice of yourself to make sure she gets it. Isn't that what our Lord did for us? There was a payment of sin I didn't have. I needed a payment for sin. He gave His blood for it. He sacrificed His blood. I needed a righteousness to go before the Father. I couldn't be in front of a holy God. I need a righteousness. He gave all of Himself for me, as our brother just read, for me to be His righteousness. He gave Himself. That's my example. Wives, this will bleed again. The practical and the spiritual. Wives, if your husband comes home, the Lord does a work in their hearts, and He loves you. He tries. He has an earnest intent to love you as Christ loved the church. Don't you take advantage of that. Well, I think I need a Porsche. I think I need this. I think I need that. We start needing all kinds of things, don't we? Why wouldn't we do that? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Our heavenly husband loved us. We don't take advantage of that, do we? We don't sin more that grace can abound more, that love can abound more. Nor would we in this walk in this life. We wouldn't do that. We saw last week if the husband and wife, neither one of them believe, somebody was to come here and say, I don't know, none of this gospel that you speak of, me and my wife's having troubles. To know how Christ loved His bride, to know Christ, that's the first priority. Not fixing your marriage. Your husband that don't believe. Fixing your marriage ain't number one. You know Christ. You can't know how to love your bride as Christ loved church unless you know Him. Unless you know that love He's had. Our master told us, they said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You seek that first. Kingdom of God and Christ's righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. If we can set our face like flint. Bob told us this morning, if I could look to my Redeemer, if I could look to my heavenly husband and worry about His righteousness, His kingdom, all them other ducks are going to fall right in a row, ain't they? And flat tires don't matter so much. And bills don't matter so much, do they? Husbands are not to rule the home like a third world dictator. But we are to rule the home. It's our responsibility. The Lord's put it in our hands. He's given the husband that responsibility. And we're to rule that home in love and in wisdom. Where did we get the love and the wisdom? God gave that too. He's well equipped us, believing husbands, to rule the home. You husbands that love the Lord, you sacrifice yourself fully for your bride, and you'll be happy to do so. You brethren in a local assembly, you sacrifice yourselves for one another, and it's going to make you happy. It'll be good. I won't have you turn there for time-wise, but I'll tell you, this is backwards from that covenant of works, isn't it? That the world's married to. But if you husbands will not only worry about serving your wife and not worry about her serving you, you'll be happy. If we diligently try to become the servant to our wife, she will be happy to serve us as well. Whenever our master come to those disciples and they got through eating, and he got up and he changed his garments. He took off his robe and he put a towel on. That's a uniform of a servant. And he went around, he started washing those disciples' feet. And we got to Peter. Peter couldn't wrap his head around this. He said, "Well, you ain't washing my feet." And he said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me." He said, "Well, Lord, you wash all of me. Wash my head, my hands, my feet, my knees, everything." And he said, "You're clean, Peter. One of you ain't." Didn't he? And he told him, he said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Can you imagine that? God Almighty, the Holy God of heaven and earth, was in the flesh and put a towel on, got down on his knees, and washed Peter's feet. He said, "For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." That don't mean we got to go around washing each other's feet. There's people that do that. That ain't what he's talking about. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that has sent him. If you know these things, if you know what I'm talking about, happy are ye if you do them." How do I know I'm going to be happy if I don't care how my wife serves me and I give her all I got and I love her like Christ loved the church and I'm sacrificial in that love? God says you'll be happy. Do you believe Him? He said so. When we are to serve one another in the right spirit, we're going to be happy too in a congregation. It would greatly benefit us to stop finding a way to lead, to stop finding a way to be the boss, to stop finding a way to be ahead, quit trying to work in our weasel wind to get some authority. Our Lord said we'd be happy if we become servants. Servants one to another. This applies to husbands, since we are the picture of Christ in the home. And we'll have a happy marriage if we look for ways to sacrifice ourselves, sacrifice our pride, and be servants to our wives. Husbands, let's lead our homes. Take responsibility and give of ourselves as Christ gave of Himself. That'll make our wives want to be in submission to us, wouldn't it? If I truly gave that all I had. There in our text, there in Ephesians 5. How did Christ love the church? He gave Himself for it. There's a sacrifice there. How else did He love the church? He loved that church in a way that cleansed her and made her perfect. Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." The sacrifice of Christ made His bride clean, without spot, without blemish. Imagine what He had to suffer to cleanse His bride, to make us without wrinkle, to make us without spot, to make us perfect. We're nothing but sin. We ain't got a little bit of sin on us. That's what we are. We ain't got a couple wrinkles. We are a wrinkle. We are a spot. Shaping in iniquity, defiled. And the Son of God suffered to make His bride perfect. How did he suffer? He suffered by giving up his glory as the Son of God to come to this earth and be made flesh. He suffered by having to obey his own law. He suffered being in subjection to his own creatures. Right? He had a mother and father. I can't fathom those things. He was in subjection to his mother and father. Why? Because his bride had to be. Full righteousness of his bride depended on it. He fulfilled that righteousness. He suffered by being made sin for us who knew no sin. We can never enter into that. In this lifetime, men can argue over it. If we was more worried about the Savior that was made sin for us instead of how he's made sin, we might be a little bit happier. Might be a little better off. He suffered by bearing the full wrath of the Father for our sins that was laid on him. He suffered his blood being shed for his bride. How did he clean her? That was the blood that flowed from his rib. A picture we looked at of the bride being taken from his rib, wasn't it? That surgery performed in Adam. Water flowed that sanctified her, made her holy. The blood flowed that cleansed her. What a bridegroom. Boy, what a husband. Somebody said, I got me a good husband. You ain't got one like this. On this earth, you don't. You may have him. That was what Christ willingly suffered to make his bride perfect. And some people boil it down to a legal transaction. Does that sound like a legal transaction to you? Does that sound like going down to books and checking the books? That's an action of love, isn't it? A declaration of love. A fulfillment of love. His immense ability to love his people. Do you have a response to that? You who know him, if the Lord speaks effectually through his jawbone to you, and you see what he suffered, the sacrifice he made to make us clean, his bride, is there a response? Like, huh? And then going back today, our response to his ability, our responsibility, is to serve one another. He ain't here for me to hug. I can hug you. I can hug Christ in you, ain't I? I can serve my brethren. I can be forgiving. I can sacrifice myself for my brethren. Like Peter, I can lay down everything. I always think of Forrest Gump leaving that boat. If y'all ever watched that movie? He sees Lieutenant Dan. And he goes, hi. And he walks straightway off the boat. If I could see my Redeemer, I want to leave that boat. Lay down everything for it. Husbands, we can't in this world cleanse the soul of our bride. This family covenant nonsense and all, you can pray your wife to be saved. And no, we can't do that. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can cover the faults of our wives, can't we? We can walk in backwards with a blanket and cover them up. We looked at that last week with the wives. Don't you speak ill of your husbands. Not in private, not in public. Don't joke about them. Don't make fun of them. Don't let nobody else do it. You protect them. Cleanse them. Sanctify. Husbands, don't you speak ill of your wives. Don't make fun of them in public or private. Christ, our bridegroom, never points out our sins, does he? He don't keep bringing it up. He covers it. And what's he cover it with? His blood. His sacrificial blood. How are we to receive one another? There's some brethren that are just at each other's throats in this world right now. And because somebody ain't doing right. How are we supposed to receive that one that's just fallen in sin? Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us for the glory of God. That's what Paul just told us in Romans Wednesday, wasn't it? How was I when Christ received me? It was that covenant of grace. It wasn't that covenant of works, was it? I didn't clean myself up and then he come to me. He came to me when I was the depth of my sin. He didn't cast us away. He didn't give us a trial period to improve ourselves. He shed his blood for us to make us clean. That's how we should be to our wives on this earth. Cover what very few faults they might have. I underline that. If they have any faults, very few, cover them. And be the first to do it. Don't wait for them to do something. Cover their faults. What would her response be if the Lord gave us husbands the ability to go home and protect our brides like that? be something, wouldn't it? That maybe, as the wife's told to adorn her conversation, if we go home and did that, and brides that don't come to services, they might say, well, what happened to you? Maybe I'll go sit with you. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself for. He gave himself sacrificially in a way that cleansed her and made her perfect. And he loved her like he loves his own flesh. Look here in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Husbands are to love our own wives just as much as we love ourselves. And that shouldn't be hard, because we truly are one. As Adam said, that was before the fall, wasn't it? That's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. The Father joined us together. We're one. It shouldn't be difficult for me to love my wife as I love myself. So this brings up a question, doesn't it? How much do I love myself? How much do you love yourself? With everything in me. I love me. I'm good at loving me, ain't I? I'll bet. Same way of loving her. I love myself enough that I find it really easy to forgive myself when I do something wrong. Do you? That's the way I love my bride. I love myself enough that if I need something, I make sure it's something really good. The best thing I can find for me. That's the same way I love my bride. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. I love myself enough to seek my own honor. And I should for her. I should seek the honor of my wife. Here in 1 Peter 3 verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Honor her as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. This is bone of my bone. Honor her. We are fellow heirs of the grace of life. We are both the brides of Christ. Instead of finding fault in our spouses, what if we looked at them and said, that's a believer. That's God's daughter sitting right there. I say, am I going to still be mad and frustrated? And gave them honor. If we do that, our prayers won't be hindered. A lot of people argue over that. What's that mean? Prayers hindered. It means your prayers are hindered. You have trouble praying. That's what that means. Give honor to your wife. Bone of my bone. An old writer once said, a wise man washes himself well, he clothes himself well, and he presents himself well before others. That's true, isn't it? Before we go out and meet somebody in public, first impressions, all those things, right? We wash up, put on good clothes, and we present ourselves in the best way we can present ourselves to meet somebody. He said a wiser husband does the same for his bride because they're one. Protect them, wash them, clothe them, and present them well. Now back in our text, Paul gives us some more instruction here. Verse 29, Ephesians 5:29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We are to nourish our wives. Nourish her physically. Make sure she's fed. Nourish her emotionally. Nourish her spiritually. We're the head of the house. We're the priest of the home. It's our responsibility to do that. This is very important. Very important. Believing husband's primary responsibility above everything else. This is how we truly love our brides. To truly love them is to set them under the sound of the gospel. Set the atmosphere in the home as a home that believes God. And we set the example of attending public worship for them. Father, this applies to us next week. These same things seems like we're all one body, doesn't it? starting with wives and the husbands and the fathers and the parents and the bosses. It's all starting to have the same foundation in them. We are to cherish our wives. Nourish her and cherish her. Make her know we love her. Never make her doubt the fact that we love her. Child of God, we don't doubt the love of God, do we? We may doubt that we deserve it. We may feel like we don't deserve His love. But we don't doubt the Savior's love. The power of His love. The consistency. From eternity. An everlasting love. We know that, don't we? How did Christ love a church? He gave Himself for her in a way that cleansed her, made her perfect. He loved her like His own flesh. Because He was made one with her. And He loved her so well, He put her first. He put her first. It says in verse 31, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." When you get married, you men aren't supposed to stop respecting your father and your parents and stop talking to them, but you are to leave them and you are to cling to your wife. What's that mean? It means leave your parents and cling to your wife. Plain, it. Your first responsibility is to your bride. You young men, you ain't married yet. When you grow up, listen to me. Your first responsibility is to your bride. We are to protect them by not letting them suffer at the hands or the mouth of our parents. My parents are their parents. And we're not to let them suffer at the hands or the mouth of our children. I'm as plain as I can be in my home. Whenever that woman there is disrespected, I tell them children, "That's my bride. You ain't going to talk to her that way. That's my wife. Y'all can grow up and leave, have your own wives. That's mine. Me and hers together. That's the family." What in this modern terms could we put this in as far as leaving your mother and father and clinging to your wife? Don't be a mommy's boy and don't be a daddy's girl. That's a sure and fast way to put your parents, interject them in between you and your spouse. And don't let them children be interjected in between the spouses. When we are joined together, you leave your father and your mother. That's what they need, security. Isn't that what a bride wants? Security. They want to know they're safe. And they want to know that love is going to last forever. And what do you men want? Respect. Don't you? I want to be respected. She wants to be secure. That's what the bride of Christ wants, isn't it? I want assurance. I want to know that the Christ's love for me is eternal. And He'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me. I want to know He's with me always. Do we honor Him? Do we respect Him for it? Our Lord left His Father's side, didn't He? He left His Father to come to His bride. And His Father abandoned Him. His Father forsook Him. God turned His back on God because of this bride. And that's what was necessary for Christ to redeem His bride. When we know Christ and we see He was forsaken of the Father for me, we love Him and we cling to Him alone and nothing else. And if we are given the privilege to walk this earth as a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad or a boss or a servant, if He puts that in our hands to do, what a privilege it is, isn't it? To live a life honoring to God, declaring His gospel. It says in verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." This is a spiritual application, is what He's telling us. Nevertheless, that's the most important part. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Paul says, do it. And it says there in particular. "Nevertheless, let one of you in particular." This is husbands and wives in the home, in our living room. Look to Christ as our example. You give yourself sacrificially for your bride. As church members, we're all the bride of Christ, the body. Sacrifice yourselves one to another. Submit yourselves one to another. Lord will bless you. You'll be happy in doing so. To me, Some of you folks, if the Lord ever raises you up to be a pastor one day, it's going to happen. You're going to give yourself lock, stock, and barrel over. The whole of you. In a way that cleanses them, makes them perfect. You cover all the sins. Don't talk about it. Hush. Look past it. Turn the eye. Go on. Provide everything for her. And love her so well to put her first. Your own bride. Your own bride. We'll look at parents next week. Lord willing, if He'll keep us till the end.